All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
We're playing the Grateful Dead again.
Yeah, well, yes. You know, we have to retract.
Yes, because
correct, take back.
That's right. We're playing this to usher in Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 153. Okay, some people die.
Right.
Because in the wake of Ed McMahon and Farrah Fawcett, I guess we have to kind of say that people die.
Yeah, I guess we can't not acknowledge those in some capacity.
I would like to say I have never seen Farrah Fawcett nor Ed McMahon in a comic book.
Yeah, not that I can think of. Although it wouldn't be surprising if Ed McMahon made an appearance somewhere alongside Johnny Carson in like Spider-Man or something like that.
Well, if you know of a comic book appearance of either Farrah Fawcett or Ed McMahon, why don't you give our hotline a call? 425-920-6050 and leave us a message and tell us... tell us where you saw that.
The sad thing.
I know, but and I want to get right into the news, and I want to kick off because
on the subject
of death.
Uh-oh.
And comic books. Several months ago, the character of Miss Marvel,
okay,
was killed in Marvel Comics.
Yay!
Well, it was Carol Danvers who was terrible. The Miss Marvel at that moment.
When is she coming back?
Exactly, she's coming back like next month.
Like,
it's a storyline called War of the Marvels. It's going to kick off of the prelude in Miss Marvel 41, continuing in Miss Marvel 42 in July and Miss Marvel 43 in August and 44 also in August on a 2-week schedule there. So the character of Carol Danvers, Miss Marvel, is coming back. Nobody stays dead in comic books. To the point now, it's like, who cares if anybody dies because they're not really dead?
Yeah, no, it's.
I don't care.
It takes all of the impact
of
the death out of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know they're not dead. You know they could theoretically. And Carol Danvers, with all due respect to the Carol Danvers fans out there and the Miss Marvel fans, bullshit character. You know, like,
yeah.
I mean, if somebody could get killed and stay killed, it could have been Miss fucking Marvel. Just saying.
No one would have lost sleep over it.
Nope.
Is that what you're saying?
Nope. No one goes home thinking, you know, no one puts a book down going, damn, she's dead. I'm kind of sad. Nobody. Nobody does that.
No one's losing sleep. No one's.
It's, nothing. It's, no one's it's doing anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a goof even.
So you know that movie Boondock Saints, the one you still haven't seen?
Ah, but I have seen it.
Oh,
sir.
You have seen it?
Yes, I
have. Oh, you didn't update us.
Uh-huh, I did. I saw it on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, okay.
This year, I think that was one of the...
you watched it after The Quiet Man?
Absolutely.
Nice.
After The Quiet Man and before Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Well, apparently, that long-awaited, rumored, maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's not sequel, apparently there's going to be a trailer for it at San Diego this year.
Now, you know, they had the two of them at San Diego last year.
Yeah, but to do
and
what?
And we missed it.
Was it a panel?
No, they were, I believe they were just signing at the some booth.
At some booth? Okay.
And the reason they brought them in and that they were signing and all that is because they announced the sequel then. They announced that they were making the sequel actually at that
going through with it. Well, we're going to see a trailer this year, apparently.
At so. San Diego?
At San Diego.
Are we there's going to be San a panel? Diego?
And there's going to be... That's yet to be determined.
Oh, I see. I see.
But it's still up in the air, last I checked.
I got you.
I think last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Predator reboot.
I apologize. I'm going to apologize right now for not making a reimagination musical interlude intro opening for this thing. I'm going to try to get that. Well, no, not this week.
Tisk, tisk.
Still working on it.
Well, apparently, this is the one that's being produced by Robert Rodriguez. Apparently, there's a director possibly attached to it, and his name is, I can't believe this is an actual first name, Nimrod Antal is his last name. That's the guy being bandied about to direct this film.
Uh-huh.
You would know him from nothing.
Yes, I imagine I wouldn't.
If you go to IMDb, there's no, half the titles you can't pronounce.
Is he a Bollywood guy?
I'm guessing.
Okay.
And then the other ones you just wouldn't recognize.
All right.
So there it is. That's who's being put in charge of relaunching Predator.
Terrific. So I'm sure it's going to be just great.
Kind of like Transformers 2.
Yeah?
I haven't seen it yet.
I heard awful things.
Okay. Now, all right, let's start with the news first. Then we'll talk about what we heard. So the news is that Michael Bay is all angry and furious at Paramount because he's saying that they've shirked their responsibilities when it came to advertising for this film.
Let me tell you how bad it is. I didn't know it was opening last week.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know it was opening, and a lot of people did. So that's kind of – Paramount definitely did not kick up the advertising campaigns enough. Not like they did for the first one.
Right. Okay.
So Michael Bay's pissed. Who really cares? It's Michael Bay. Now on to what we've heard. Now okay. I've seen polar spectrum here.
Okay.
It's either the worst movie that's ever been made, it's a piece of shit and nobody likes it, or if you go in expecting to see nothing more than giant robots fighting and Megan Fox, you'll enjoy it. That's pretty much what I've read.
Did you read that interview with Megan Fox?
Which one?
In Entertainment Weekly. The one in Entertainment Weekly?
Yeah, I did.
She's kind of a bitch.
You know what? I think some of the things she said were justified. I don't think she wants to be compared to other people.
I understand. I understand not but wanting to be compared to other people and all that. I mean, I get compared to people all the time. Just saying. And I can understand that part of it. But just the way that she responds, and I could just almost picture the way it was said in that real bitchy kind of... tone, you know, I'm just not like the more she opens her mouth and speaks for herself, the less I'm interested in her. What, she got a hot body? What, she got some tattoos? She good looking girl? No one says she's not a good looking girl with no waist.
Creepy no waist.
I'm just saying. So She doesn't have anything else going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but then there was that interview about the kid with the flower. Have you seen this? It's making all the news stories because Kodak got involved.
Mm-hmm.
She was at a release of the movie in, was it Australia maybe? Or the UK? No, I think she was in the UK. And there was a little kid trying to give her a rose. And she walked past him because like the paparazzi were all pushing her and stuff like that. And then as soon as she walked past him, I guess someone told her that he was trying to give her a rose, so she made a public apology. And now Kodak got involved. Her in conjunction with Kodak, or Kodak in conjunction with her and her press agent got involved. And they found the kid, and they're setting up some sort of like lunch so he can give her the rose or whatever because she feels bad because she didn't want to snub him. I'm just saying. I don't care one way or the other. Oh, and then the other, you know, Megan Fox news is that in an interview this week, she said she wants to go to San Diego dressed as Princess Leia in the slave outfit.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, that's the other.
Yeah, can you picture that happening?
It would cause a mob scene.
Remember when Olivia Munn went there dressed as the fucking Princess Leia and they had to have security around her all the time?
Olivia Munn and Playboy. Pictures are pretty hot.
She was?
Yeah, it's they're all over the interwebs. You can find them.
I didn't
see
them.
Just got to search.
I was looking. I didn't see them.
They're out there.
All right. No, Megan, that will not happen.
No, never. It
just will
years.
Never happen. She's a fucking dreamer. Dude, like barely famous people can't walk through San Diego without getting accosted.
That's right. I had to chase Thomas Jane down 4 or 5 booths.
That's right. There are some that brave the floor. Nice, like Whedon always walks the floor.
Always walks the floor, which is amazing.
And you remember how we ran into him. It's like suddenly I'm walking right next to Joss Whedon. I was like, Joss Whedon. He's like, hey. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm on my way to see you right now.
Like, funny, I was looking for you.
Yeah. Imagine that. 100 million people at this thing, and we run into each other. Alex Ross is...
I know that guy.
He's working on a new project for Marvel.
He's an artist, right?
He is. He's a great artist, a painter. He is bringing back the Human Torch.
Should I care?
Well, you should care. Now, why
tell
do you
me why
think
I should care?
Because it is not Johnny Storm, the member of the Fantastic Four.
So who is it? It's that original.
Oh, well, look who knows some shit. Do you know anything else?
Wasn't he from? What was the name of the imprint? It wasn't Marvel. It was like
he was Timely Comics, and the comics were called Marvel Comics Number One. He's on the cover,
right?
Yeah, that very famous Marvel Comics cover number one. Jim Hammond.
Okay.
The original Human Torch.
So who's he bringing this under? What imprint is
Marvel.
It is under Marvel.
Yeah, it's a Marvel book where he's bringing this character back. It's going to be set in the modern day. And, of course, he's going to, you know, crisscross with all sorts of elements going on in the Marvel Universe right now.
But wait, it wasn't an original Marvel character. Originally, it wasn't Marvel continuity, or it was?
Timely.
Right.
Became Marvel Comics. Timely had the original Human Torch, Jim Hammond, Toro, Cap, Bucky, Namor the Submariner.
Okay.
A bunch of other ones like that.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it wasn't Marvel originally, but okay.
Well, you're correct because it's Timely.
Right.
But Marvel Comics number one featured this, and at some point they made a transition.
Okay.
I think I'm right about that.
All right.
So, yeah. So, that's very exciting. He, of course, will paint the covers of the book, and some other stray dog will do the interiors, no doubt. So, yes. And he's working on this with a really terrific writer, Mike Carey, who's a really swell fella. So, it should be a good book.
Smallville all over the news this week.
Because of the naked scene?
There's a naked scene?
No, I just saw
I didn't hear that. No, because apparently in season, was it 9 now of the show, which is the final season, I think, they're bringing in a popular Superman baddie into continuity.
Let's see if I can guess who it is. Is it Doomsday?
No, go back to the movies.
Because they could end that if that were the case.
Go back to the movies.
General Zod.
General Zod will be making his Smallville debut in this upcoming season.
They say who's playing him?
Yes. British actor Callum Blue.
Well, that name's familiar, actually. I don't know why.
He's been in a couple of different things. Actually, he was Alex in Secret Diary of a Crawl Girl. He was in Dead Like Me, Life After Death, which was the movie. He was in The Tudors.
As who?
Anthony Nivert in The Tudors.
Okay.
He was on an episode of Grey's Anatomy. Oh, he was a regular on Dead Like Me. Okay. So he's been in a couple of things.
Okay.
So there he is.
There you go.
He's playing Zod. I think it's interesting that they're bringing Zod in, though. That's kind of nice, no?
Sure.
In addition to that, on the rumor mill, apparently... someone, and this is still in the room and unconfirmed, but someone spotted a poster being prepared for Comic-Con, for CW booth at Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
And it's the crimson red superhero Superman logo, and it's just Metropolis underneath, and then 2010, the year. So there's been talk back and forth for a while that there was going to be some sort of Smallville continuity movie that they were going to do.
Uh-huh.
And it was, is it going to go to the big screen? Is it going to be made for TV? Et cetera, et cetera.
And you think this is that?
Well, that the talk is that this is that. And there are two things that are being thrown about. Either it's going to be made for TV and it's going to be the actual closer to
the series,
Smallville. Or it's going to be a movie that they're making, or it's going to be the made-for-TV movie that will get a limited theatrical release, much like The Clone Wars when it launched.
Right.
So those are the three swirling theories.
Swinarios.
But 2010, the date 2010, certainly takes it out of the run for when Smallville is supposed to wrap, I believe. So it's got to be something
Smallville
new.
Smallville wraps in the spring of 2010.
Yeah, but this has got to be after that, I'm assuming. If it's, I mean, they're naming it something different, right? Metropolis. So, I mean, unless it's an advertisement for the season finale of Smallville, but that would seem kind of
maybe
pointless. So,
interesting.
So, and it makes sense from Smallville to Metropolis. It ends the series. He
get
moves
it.
On. But bum.
Get it? Because the title.
Right. I get it. We get it. It's not funny. Remember that shitty movie Hitman? Starring Tim Olyphant, that no one watched.
Yes.
Apparently, they're working on a sequel.
Well, there's no surprise there. Somebody watched it.
I don't know why they would be working on a sequel, but apparently they're working on a sequel.
And where is the Assassin's Creed movie?
I haven't heard anything about that in quite some time.
Because that, I think, would be probably a great movie.
That I'd want to see. I enjoy the game.
As compared to Hitman.
The game is fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So, there it is.
So, we made it to Wizard World Philly.
We did make it to Wizard World Philly.
I had a good time. I have to say, I hadn't been to a wizard show in quite a while. In fact, I think the last wizard show we were at, I think, was Wizard World Philly. I think.
Yes.
And the reason we decided to go, besides the fact that it's local and close, and we haven't been to a Wizard World show in a number of years, is because of the war that's going on right now. No, I don't mean Afghanistan. The war between Garib Sheamus and Reed Exhibitions.
Right.
For who's buying up the country and now internationally.
Yeah, Wizard just bought what, Toronto?
Wizard just bought the Toronto Comic Con.
Or one of them, right?
Toronto, I think. Toronto Comic Con was just bought by Wizard. Wizard's owner, Garib Sheamus, who we ran into on the floor of the convention. It's always nice to see Garib. And I wanted to go because our last experience was not so great, but this one I thought was much better. We were able to talk to a bunch of people. We were able to walk the entire floor, which was terrific. And overall, it was a very good experience. Now, not without its issues, but every con has its issues, I think.
What was that movie with Will Smith where he's fighting the zombie things, zombie vampire things?
I Am Legend.
Yeah, that's what it kind of felt like to me.
Oh yeah,
it was dead.
Well,
there were huge gaps. There was a ton of space that wasn't being utilized.
There was definitely waves. You know what I mean? Where all of a sudden it would feel like we were really at a packed show, and then there were other times where it was like very comfortable to move around.
I'm not even talking about the gate or the door,
right?
Let's say I'm talking about like vendors,
yeah, there
guests.
Were, yeah, there were a lot of booths.
Artist alley.
Yeah, there were a lot of booths that were unclaimed, but then claimed by retailers who were local to those booths.
Exactly.
And we know of at least half a dozen of those that occurred. So that was very interesting. You know, you pay a pretty penny as a vendor to get in there. So if those guys actually paid and didn't show up, that's kind of dumb on their part.
Absolutely.
My guess is that, you know, maybe people weren't, you know, going. I don't know, as far as vendors go. But I want to say this. We did manage to see a lot of vendors who we don't see at other shows. And that's kind of one of the draws of Wizard shows, is because they're so big, they kind of tend to get guys from all over the country. Like the one toy dealer that we saw who had a lot of Star Wars stuff. We were there at his booth for quite a bit, and I bought a bunch of things. He's from like Baltimore. You know what I mean? Like from that era.
Yeah, he doesn't come to the New York stuff.
Yeah, but he doesn't come up all the way like to New York Comic Con, for example,
right,
and so on and so forth. So it's a good thing to get that sort of exposure. We did run into some people that we know, of course. We ran into our friends over at Jailbreak Toys.
We love Jailbreak Toys.
Now, just a bit of history. Jailbreak Toys is the company that puts out the Obama action figure.
Right. Actually, let's go back even a step further than that.
Okay.
Let's talk about the history of Jailbreak Toys on this show. They also put out Oddfellows.
Right.
Which is something we talked about when they first came out.
Yes.
It was kind of those quirky little super deformed, famous.
Yeah.
That was like Einstein and Shakespeare and stuff like that.
Right.
And then they got this, the Obama license.
And it was actually at this past toy, not this past toy fair, but the toy fair before that.
Right.
Where the Obama figure made its debut.
Debut.
And it was in our top 10 things that we saw at Toy Fair of 2007,
Been.
And was it 7 or
was
it
Oh, no, it would have been 8.
It would have been 8, right? 2008. And it was fantastic. It was still in production. And the great people over there decided they were going to send us some of those. And we got those spread around to different people on our show, a couple other shows. And we were really happy about it. And then it fucking exploded.
It's kind of like the, it's the do-it-yourself.
Right.
It's the do-it-yourself vinyl toy movement that really launched this this Brock figure out into the stratosphere as being awesome and everywhere.
There's a whole culture of people who are taking these vinyl toys and decorating them, modifying them, and painting them, and giving them their own life. And they have decided they're going to do the same with this Obama action figure. So when we went to Toy Fair 2009, checked in with our friends over at Jailbreak Toys, there was a case full of customized Obama action figures, and they were all fabulous.
My favorite is still Break This Case and When the Shit Hits the Fan. I think that's still my favorite one.
And they were able to, they were able at Philadelphia to hook us up with a couple of ones that they've now produced. The favorite of which, my favorite, I'd say, is this one here of the new ones. Is this one? It's called Hope. It's much designed after that very famous Shepherd Fairey.
Right.
It's kind of a red, white, and blue image of Obama. Everybody has seen it. In fact, if you're listening to the show right now on your iPod or watching it on your computer in iTunes or in QuickTime, you can see some of the images of some of the things that we're talking about here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Otherwise, you can go over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com, check out the photo gallery for episode 153 to see what we're talking about. But they've made a figure... they made a figure out of his artwork, and I think it's terrific. I think it's really terrific.
The other one we got while we were there is another limited edition piece. I like to call it Obama in the gold lame suit.
Yeah, it's kind of like Disc Obama.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. But it's the classic Obama figure, just in the gold flashy suit.
Gold lame suit. Does he have a specific name for that
one? He doesn't. It's just limited edition Barack Obama. They don't. It's not like the Hope edition or anything fancy, but I'm calling him Disco Obama or Gold Lame Obama.
And in response to everybody's desire to customize these Jailbreak toys in their genius, decided to put out a do-it-yourself Obama. So this is a plain white Obama action figure that you can paint and design to your specifications at home, and it's terrific. We want you to go over to jailbreaktoys.com. I think you can order them directly from there, and they're really fantastic. I hope these sort of Obama things keep happening and some other things. Now let me say what was funny about Jailbreak Toys.
Okay.
They also produced the John McCain figure.
Oh my God, did they produce the John McCain figure?
And they had about 400,000 of them there. And they were selling them for $1 a piece.
It's like the day after the World Series when they have all of the losing teams winning jerseys.
Uh-huh.
That's what it's like.
And they were $1 a piece.
You know what? In hindsight, I should have bought one.
I was thinking about that.
I really should have picked one up.
I'd spend just a lot of money at that point, though.
Yeah. Maybe they have them on the website. I'll go check it out.
Yeah, over at jailbreaktoys.com. So that was exciting about Philadelphia.
I want to take a Philly tangent for a second, but stick with Obama. Some friends of the show, Ken and Cheryl from over at FlickPodcast.com, went to Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that I collect these Obama figures now,
right?
They picked me up the Obama Aloha bobblehead. Hawaii's son, America's president.
Uh-huh.
And it's a little Obama in a Hawaiian shirt and sandals with a lei.
Does he have a little bobblehead?
You got a little bobblehead. And this apparently is only available in Hawaii by, well, actually, you might be able to get it online also by the distribution company dbihawaii.com. But I just wanted to mention that because I thought it was cute.
Don't buy in Hawaii.com.
Yeah, exactly.
That is cute. And right in the middle of our Philadelphia, our Wizard World Philly discussion, why don't we take our first break? We'll come back. We'll wrap up Philly. We'll do a couple other things, and we'll get the flock out of here.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GEEKSTUFFXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey, this is Frank Miller from some very dark place, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 153. Okay, sometimes people do die. It's kind of scary and appropriate considering what we just saw in the news.
I know.
Is he dead?
I don't know. We'll find out. If he is dead, you can tune into this show next week to find out if he's dead or not.
Okay, let's get back to Philadelphia.
King of Pop.
On a somber note.
King of Pop, sir.
He didn't beat it.
Job, you're ruining our title for next week.
Sorry. No, I'm teasing the title for next week. All right. So have you heard of Geek Boy Press?
They do some calendar, don't they?
No, I don't think they do a calendar. Okay. But apparently they do some awesome t-shirts. This is something I stumbled upon in Artist Alley at Wizard World Philly. And I stumbled upon it because I'm walking by and I see a t-shirt display. And in the middle of the t-shirt display is a brown t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
With Serenity in the middle of
it. Yes, that's right.
And written on top of Serenity. And by Serenity, I mean the ship.
Outline of.
Right.
Right.
And written on top of it, it says, "I am a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar. How did I not buy that?" So I bought it.
Uh-huh.
It was $10.
I remember. You
they have get, the best priced t-shirts ever.
Couldn't get the money out of your pocket quick enough.
Especially when he told me $10. If we would have been like $25, I'd have slowly gotten the money out of my wallet.
You got the guy's card?
I do.
Maybe he could produce t-shirts for us.
Yeah, it's like, we'll talk to him.
We have two exciting t-shirt designs in mind.
They have some great other t-shirts on their site, though. They have Shaun of the Dead shirts, a bunch of Doctor Who shirts, Trek shirts, Star Wars shirts. They have a Psych shirt. I don't know how I didn't see the Psych shirt while I was there, because I probably would have bought that also. I'm probably going to have to go to the website and buy one of those.
Uh-huh.
But they have a lot of really good shirts, and they're all priced at $10 a piece, which is really impressive. That's a great price for some t-shirts.
It is.
So everybody should go over to geekboypress.com and check out their t-shirts.
Terrific.
And that's one of those little nuggets that we stumbled upon because of the unmasses at Philadelphia.
Yes. Well, you know, and it's good. We talked to a couple of people. We talked to Dennis Calero, who's doing all the Marvel Noir stuff.
We did.
He's a terrific guy. He wants to come on and do the show with us. And yeah, we got to do a lot of
Joe
things.
Joe Caramanga, fan of the show, friend of the show.
Yes, we did. We also saw Joe Kelly. Talked to Joe Kelly about some projects he's working on. Terrific writer, Joe Kelly. And yeah, and we walked out with everybody carrying the stuff that I bought. So I don't know. I thought it was a really good time, and I'm very pleased. I can't wait to see what they do with their acquisition of Big Apple Con, and what sort of New York thing they're going to do.
Well, apparently they've only acquired, from what I've read officially, they've only acquired the National.
Right.
Not the little shows.
Right.
I don't know what that means, but that's what they
acquired. Nobody knows what it means. It's all kind of up in the air. Let's talk about some comic books.
Comic books?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say DVDs, but there are none.
Oh, but I have one.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you have?
This just came out this past week.
Okay. What's this?
It is the Blu-ray version of Serenity.
Wow.
I have to have it.
Nice.
I have the high def, I have the regular.
Is there some Blu-ray only features?
There is a new visual commentary with the cast and crew. There's a digital tour of Serenity, which I think is different than the one that was done for the Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me.
You said it, not me.
I know, I couldn't but help it. For that Blu-ray edition and the special edition of that.
Right.
So, and then there's the Mr. Universe Compendium, which is another special feature on here. So, and then there's a bunch of other stuff. Some interviews, an introduction by Joss Whedon, some of the other deleted scenes, commentaries, outtakes, you know, the normal stuff.
So I've been noticing, I want to say, while we're on the topic of Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So I've been talking to Best Buy Billy.
Yeah.
And I think when I get my new, when I get my next machine, it's going to be a Blu-ray player that upscales.
Right.
And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to replace some of the movies that I have with Blu-ray versions of the movies as long as the movie was made after the year 2005.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because
then you'll actually benefit from the upscaling.
Yeah, because, well, no, because I think those movies, I think movies like Dark Knight and 300 and maybe Batman Begins.
Right.
Those movies will benefit the most from Blu-ray. I don't think I would buy Errol Flynn's Robin Hood on Blu-ray simply because I don't think it could possibly be much better of a picture than an upscaled regular DVD that I have now. So I don't see the point in spending
$10
or $15, not to mention the fact that, you know,
the only way it would be worth it is if the price of the Blu-ray is right.
That's right.
For example, there have been a couple of times now where I've gone to the store to pick up something and I was like, I don't really need this on Blu-ray, but it's like $19.99 on Blu-ray and then, or $19.99 regular, $21.99 on Blu-ray. And I'm like, I might as well.
But
for $2.
But I think that's
a rare occasion. Though.
I think that's what I'm going to do. So then moving forward from there, I may decide to replace some things in the past with Blu-ray editions, but I'm highly skeptical that the picture quality, I agree that they are, the one thing I do agree about Blu-ray is they are able to condense more sound quality into Blu-ray. Now that said, I have a Bose home system.
Right.
So I'm not suffering bad sound coming off a regular DVD.
Sure.
I'm just not. And will it be a little bit better with Blu-ray? Yes. And I think for, again, the movies that have, you know, worked in the digital era, I think it will be an improvement I will notice.
I'm being very selective with what I choose to buy on Blu-ray.
But that said, I've noticed also the Blu-ray prices coming down a little bit.
Absolutely.
Buck or two.
Yeah, which
they're trying
good.
To get a little more competitive.
Absolutely.
I'm also seeing lots of sales.
Yep.
So, and I'm also, I haven't seen any at the Giant Stadium flea market yet. But
it's only
I'm keeping my eye. So I think that's the plan moving forward. So that's great. Serenity, a new edition, DVD, Blu-ray. It's got some good stuff on it. Awesome. Is that it for DVDs? Because there wasn't a lick of another thing.
For DVDs, yeah.
Pink Panther 2.
No, we don't have to talk about that. The fact that you've mentioned it, you should edit it out.
You know why? Because it had the Pink Panther cartoons on it, like 27 of them or something.
Yeah, but I have those DVDs that they put out.
Of the cartoon. I don't think I got those. I gotta get those.
Oh, they're great.
I'm a big fan
of the aardvark. I was a big fan of the shark. Ant and the aardvark, but
the shark What was the one that just came up and was like, and he had the little top hat and the little catfish and he called him Pally all the time?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember if those are on there or not, but they might be.
Mm. Comic books.
Comic books.
Couple things we'd like you to check out this week. Our ongoing love and desire for Dynamite Entertainment's Zorro continues this week with Zorro 14. A terrific book, great throwback character. I'm loving the classic stuff. I can't even begin to tell you. I know I say it all the time. I'm saying it again. Your old pulpy characters like the Lone Ranger, the Phantom, Zorro, Buck Rogers, all your classic characters that are being redone right now are really, I think every single one of them is hitting the mark with me right now. It's really, really terrific stuff. Star Wars Legacy 37, Return to Tatooine. So, without giving much of the story away, this is rather a pivotal point, I think, in the story.
I think so.
So, it's Cade Skywalker. It's the adventures in the Star Wars universe 100 years after the Battle of Yavin,
right,
or what you know as the end of Return of the Jedi. And terrific book. You should check that out as well. Another fantastic book that gets better and better is Guardians of the Galaxy. Issue 15 is out this week. Did you start this yet? Did you get trades?
No. Have they traded
I think they have two trades out.
If they have two trades out, I'll pick them up.
I was looking into it for you. I think they have two trades out. And it's the space opera Marvel has never had before, and it's being done absolutely, absolutely brilliantly. Terrific art, terrific writing. It's Abnett and Lanning, Walker and Ola Zaba responsible for this book. We're in the middle of the War of Kings storyline. Doesn't matter when you have a rocket-packed, fishbowl-headed raccoon with a big giant gun on the cover. You're in the right place, I think, when you see that image. Gotham City Sirens, number one.
What is that?
It's the brand new monthly series. Which focuses, now, sir, before you jump to conclusions,
okay,
focuses on Harley Quinn,
okay,
Catwoman,
okay,
and Poison Ivy,
okay,
and it's written by Paul Dini.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Why?
Because now I'm almost interested.
Yeah, see, and not only that, but it's got really good art.
Who did the artwork?
It's a youngster by the name of Gillum March.
Oh,
might
okay.
be a new fella. I'm not very familiar with him. I'll tell you this, though. The interior art is very good. And, you know, when the exterior art is good and you get to the interior and it looks like your kid sister drew it, you know, it's a problem. But inside and out, this is a good book.
All right,
I think everybody who's a Batman fan needs to check that out. I'm sure you didn't get this yet either, did you?
What is that?
This would be Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, the Nightmare Warriors, number one.
Oh, no, but I'm going now. I'm on my way.
Yep. And it, of course, it's going to feature, I believe the first issue features three covers. Surprise, surprise. One featuring Jason Voorhees, which is the one we have here.
Of course.
And one featuring Ash and one featuring Freddy. Now, I think I'm right about that.
Okay, now.
I did see definitely the Ash one, which looks like a photo painting of Bruce Campbell.
Putting my sarcasm aside, I actually did like the first Freddy versus Jason versus Ash comic book series. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty well done, so right. I will pick that up.
Terrific.
That, however, I will not pick up.
From
I can't believe you brought that to this show.
Why? Why are you so upset by this?
It's ridiculous.
It's Devil's Due Publishing.
It's ridiculous
and
publishing.
And it's Barak the Barbarian, number one.
My God.
Quest for the Treasure of the Stimuli, part one.
Of course it is.
I don't understand what your problem is.
It's ridiculous.
It's a political satire cartoon featuring all the big names in politics right now, from Sarah Palin to President Obama to Hillary Clinton to the evil former vice president, what's his name, Cheney, and set in a Conan the Barbarian type setting. It's really, really, really bad, and that's what makes it good.
Right.
It's got decent art. You know who wrote this?
No.
Larry Hama.
Oh, Larry.
Larry Hama is a good writer, sir, and that's why I think this is worth checking out.
So when is the follow-up coming out? Barack versus Snake Eyes.
It's, yeah. This is actually cover 1A. I believe cover 1B may have featured the Sarah Palin character.
Oh, okay.
And finally, I want to close out with a pair of books.
Oh, God.
It's okay. Relax. This is the brand new A Treasury of 20th Century Murder. Now, formerly, we have talked about a series of books called A Treasury of Victorian Murder, done by the terrific, terrific independent artist Rick Geary. And it looks like he has run out of topics for Victorian okay. murder and is now moving into the 19th century with this, which I think is the first volume in that series called Famous Players, The Mysterious Death of William Desmond Taylor. This is a Hollywood story. From the early 20th century, and it's full of the black and white Rick Geary art that will just blow your socks off. And it's a true story, which also makes it great. $15.95 is going to get you the hardcover. In a couple of months, I know what usually happens is the softcover will come out in a couple of months following the hardcover. Whatever way you like, you should definitely check it out. It's a great series of books. Rick Geary is an amazing, amazing independent artist. Very stylized and very very adaptable.
I just wanted to bring up something that isn't new, but that I'm just getting into, and hopefully you too.
Are you want to bring that up before I close out with this, before I finish with this book?
Yeah, go ahead. You can finish that first.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Lackadaisy, Volume 1. This is something I picked up in Philadelphia.
Oh, yes.
It's it looks like sort of a, what would you call it? Kind of a crime noir book. But it has sort of anthropomorphized animals in it, cats, to be specific.
It looked interesting. I really actually want to check that out.
Yeah, and the art is really nice. The tone inside is all sepia.
Right.
You know, with some commentary, some color images, pinups and covers and things. And I think it's really, it's stylized and it really sort of works. Now, I haven't read it yet. I'd like to send you people who listen to this program over to check it out. So you can Google Lackadaisy if you see some 20s noir looking Tommy gun carrying cats in zoot suits. You're in the right place. Terrific. We met the writer and artist Tracy Butler. She was very nice. So check that out.
And check it out at lackadaisycats.com.
Oh, well, there it is. Lackadaisycats.com. What did you, what are you bringing to the table here?
Well, this is a book that people have been recommending to me for quite some time, and I've been very hesitant to get into it because, you know, judging a book by its cover, it didn't seem like something that I would necessarily be interested in.
Ba-dum-bum.
Right. This is The Walking Dead. It's not new. A ton of people probably read it. But if you haven't checked this out yet, you really, really, really should.
Did you ever see Best Buy Billy after after he does a store inventory? That's the Walking Dead.
No, I'm serious. It's really a good book. It's really not just about zombies. It's a lot more than that.
And ooh, it's deep and intricate.
It is.
It's actually the thoughts and feelings of zombies.
It's about the people trying to cope, you know, the people who survive the world turning to zombies and their struggle and in a turmoil. And it's a good book. It's well written and it's well illustrated. And I think that if you haven't checked it out, now's the time.
I'm excited to read it, as they say.
What else you got?
I want to close out this week with an absolutely amazing product from our pals over at DC Direct.
Okay.
This is the 1/2 scale Joker bust from the Dark Knight movie. Now, previously on this program, we talked about the 1/2 scale Joker bust from the comic books.
Right.
This is actually from the movie. So this is the Heath Ledger Joker done as a 1/2 scale bust, and it is Huge.
And beautiful. I
mean. Oh, yeah. Sculpted by Colby Jukes, who's a name I'm not familiar with. He's done a really, really terrific job. Bust is about, it's almost 15 inches high, 11 inches wide, 8 inches deep. So it's a big, heavy, massive thing. Not going to lie to you, not cheap. Not a cheap item. Couple hundred, yeah, like well, two
that,
and a bit.
That's to be expected.
And worth every penny, I'd like to tell you. They have a Batman one that's coming out. I don't believe the Batman one has come out yet. Okay. I don't think.
And it's a Christian Bale Batman one?
Yes, it's a Christian Bale okay. Batman from the movie. You know, he's captured the face. They've captured the makeup and the scarring and everything else. I think they've done a really terrific job. And like I mentioned previously, when you think we're getting to the end of this Heath Ledger Joker character, we're not getting to the end.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
It'll never be the end. We
announced a couple of weeks ago that DC Direct had solicited on behalf of because they're importing it on behalf of Hot Toys, the Joker as the Gotham City police officer with the complete other costume that come with it as well, so you can get two characters. You remember that discussion?
I remember that discussion.
And that's out now. This has come out, and there's actually one more thing I wanted to talk about. You should definitely check this out. Go over to DC Direct. I think it's dccomics.com/DC Direct. It's a Joker 1/2 scale bust from the movie. I did not show you this because I did not want to. I did not show you this thing I'm about to talk about.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to blow it.
All right.
And there he is.
What the hell is that?
Well, sir, also coming from DC Direct and Hot Toys, which we were just speaking about, these are the Cosbaby minifigures from Batman.
All right. I like the Cosbaby line. I have some of the Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean ones.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so do I, yes. And now teaming up with Warner Brothers and DC Direct, Hot Toys has put out 8 different Batman characters in the cosplay line. And the one we're looking at, of course, is the Cosbaby Joker.
There's a shocker.
I know. Big shocker there. They stand about 3 inches tall, humongous head. It's that squared off body with the sort of the weirdo little what do you call them? Like circle hands with the slit through it.
Yeah, the little Kubrick hands.
Yeah, yeah, and terrific. 8 characters include Batman Classic, Batman Modern. So the Classic, of course, in blue, Modern in black. Robin and Nightwing, and it's a very angry looking Nightwing, which I thought was very funny. Batgirl, Joker, Catwoman, and Two-Face. And it's more like the comic book and less like the movie Two-Face.
How lovely.
Not the exploding cigar
right.
Two-Face from last week. So there it is. You can check these out at finer stores. Again, you can look at them a little bit more directly over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com in the photo gallery section, or you can go over to DCComics.com/DC Direct and check them out there. So there it is.
All right. Let's take another break.
Okay.
Come back with the crap up and get the hell out of
here. No. We're going to put this to a rest right now. You know, you're slipping that whole the crap up in here.
I'm just saying.
No. It's the wrap up, sir. You lost. The election.
I'm a bad loser.
Therefore,
I'm a sore loser.
You will respect the wrap up by calling
your authority.
Respect the wrap up by calling it its proper name. Go ahead. Now I want you to repeat the line and do it properly.
We're going
to
take a break and come back with the wrap-up and end this show.
That's better.
Along with Michael Jackson. Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Thank you.
we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 153. Okay, sometimes they do die, especially according to TMZ. I'm amending the title name.
TMZ is, of course, the official news source of all celebrity death.
Right. It's terrible.
Uh-huh. What did we talk about on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 153, OG?
We talked about some no-name director taking over the possible role of directing Predator. Smallville all over the interwebs this week with their introduction of General Zod and perhaps, potentially, maybe the Metropolis movie coming sometime in 2010. And we're going to see a Boondock Saints 2 trailer, All Saints Day, at San Diego this year.
Miss Marvel, a character nobody cares about in Marvel Comics who was dead, is now coming back. Or the original person who was her is coming back, but somebody's replaced her since then. Who the fuck can keep up? Miss Marvel coming back in Marvel Comics from the dead. And also coming back from the not dead is the Jim Hammond Human Torch, thanks to Alex Ross and Michael Carey, coming in September.
If you didn't have a chance to make it out to Wizard World Philadelphia, maybe a couple of things we recommend for you to check out. Jailbreaktoys.com for their exclusive Obama action figures, including the do-it-yourself version. In addition to geekboypress.com for some great, awesome, cheap t-shirts for some good geeky wear.
Yeah, and thank you, Wizard World Philly, for having us down there. And, absolutely. We're looking forward to seeing what they bring to the table in New York.
In segment two of tonight's show, we talked about DVDs, Serenity on Blu-ray. That's it.
We did talk about some comic books, though, and it was slightly more than one. It was Zorro 14 from Dynamite Entertainment, Star Wars Legacy number 37 from Dark Horse, Guardians of the Galaxy 15 from Marvel, Gotham City Sirens number 1 from DC, Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash number 1, The Nightmare Warriors, the new series from Wildstorm, and Barack the Barbarian from Devil's Due Press, as well as the brand new Rick Geary Treasury of 20th Century Murder, Famous Players, The Mysterious Death of William Desmond Taylor, terrific book, and also Lackadaisies Volume 1. You can check that out at lackadaisycats.com, right? Is that it?
Yep.
So that was all that stuff. And finally, we rounded out the evening talking about a pair of Joker products. One is the one-half bust of the Heath Ledger Joker. It's a huge piece, beautiful piece, limited run of 2,500. From DC Direct, and as well as another import Joker piece from Hot Toys. It's the Cosbaby Joker, one of 8 Batman-themed Cosbaby figures coming from Hot Toys via DC Direct.
There's one more thing we probably should mention tonight that we didn't mention in the first half of the show, Kev.
What?
Loyalty in our fan base.
Oh?
A couple of our fans have taken it upon themselves to start an online petition.
Oh, yeah.
To help, or what they're saying is help bring us back to SiriusXM.
Right.
We haven't been on in a while.
That's right. We're currently in hiatus.
In hiatus.
With SiriusXM, and we hope to return to the airwaves at some point. If you'd like to be part of this petition, of course, you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where you'll find it right at the top of the page, I think.
Yep, there's a link right there. You can click on it and sign it. We'd appreciate each and every signature that you give us. And,
yeah, we got a few, right?
Yeah, we got a few.
3, 4?
Yeah, a little, perhaps more than that. And, hopefully it'll get sent off to whoever it has to get sent off to. And
who will laugh at it. And
maybe. You never know.
And you can join us right here.
But, look, it's nice to know that the fans want us back.
Yes.
It's nice to know that they cared enough to do this without our prodding. It just kind of popped up in my email one day.
Yep.
So. That's awesome.
That is very nice, very cool, and we appreciate all you people. In fact, OG will be sending each and every person who signs the petition a special prize from his personal prize collection. So just more incentive for you to sign up for the petition.
That's right. I'm giving each and every person who signs it a little bit of DNA.
Ew, I said prize.
Yeah, that's a prize.
Foul.
What? I meant for me licking the envelope.
But before we get Best Buy Billy over here to do his final words, which he has been anticipating and rehearsing, I want to send out a special hello to Marie from Hippo Juice. Hey. So with that, if you've got nothing else, don't forget to check us out over at the website. And Best Buy Billy, do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 153? Okay, sometimes they do die.
Annie, are you okay?
And on that note, we cue the music.